Matthew chapter 22. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I hope you have come with prepared hearts. With a yielded spirit. All right. Back on New Year's Day, we started a series, 10 Keys to Spiritual Growth. And we took our text out of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we said that that's not only a suggestion, but that it is a command. We are to grow. We are not supposed to stay babes in Christ all of our life, but we are to grow. And we, on New Year's Day, we said that the first key in order for us to grow is to know that we are saved. You got to be born again. You have to trust the blood of Jesus that paid your sin debt that you owed before a just God. Okay, your sin debt was going to be paid one of two ways. It's going to be paid by you in an eternity in hell, or you could let Jesus pay for it. Okay, just as, and we got to know that we are saved. We have to believe the scriptures to be true. We have to know that Jesus' death on Calvary is final. We must call on his name. It says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, and we must live a transformed life. Key number two we looked at last Sunday night, and we are to immerse ourselves in Scripture. The Bible is our food. It is our spiritual nourishment in order for us to grow. And we said that we were not going to grow beyond what we took in as Scripture. You can't grow beyond that. And we said we needed to learn the basic storyline of all Scripture, right? We need to know that God created everything in six 24-hour days, okay? We need to know that, and we need to know at the end of Revelation that Jesus is coming back to take his people onto glory and there spend forever together, okay? We have to understand that. We need to learn basic Bible doctrine. We need to know who God is. We need to know who Jesus is. We need to know the way of salvation. We need to know the three tenses of salvation in justification, sanctification, and glorification. As we immerse ourselves in Scripture, we need to learn our Christian duty. Okay, as when Jesus saves you, you have a duty to him. He becomes Lord of your life. He has the right to rule your life, and we have a duty to him. Actually, Romans 12 and verse 1, I believe it says that is our reasonable service, right? It's not, I mean, of all the things that Jesus did for us, and I point back to the movie, The Passion of the Christ. If they did just half, if they did half a good a job as what Jesus took a beating for our sake, then they did a good job. I think it was way worse. He was beaten beyond recognition on our behalf. We have to understand that, and it is only reasonable. If that's what Jesus did for you, it is only reasonable that we follow through in our duty to him. Also, as we immerse ourselves in Scripture, we learn good godly examples, and we turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and we saw the great hall of faith. We saw all of the examples that they obtained by faith a good report. You know, we talked a little bit about Abraham, how God told him to go. He never told him where he was going, but he told him just to go, and he did. And that was one of the greatest godly examples. And we asked each, what godly example do you like when you look into Scripture? Who is your favorite? And some said David. Some said the Apostle Paul. Some said Joshua. I heard that one. You know, there's Ruth, I believe, is what Bertha said. And we all have those examples that we can look into Scripture and we can follow to help us grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But here this morning, I want to, if we get through 3 and 4, we've done a good job, but maybe if we just get through 3, it's okay. But key number 3 for our lesson this morning, we need to grow to love and worship God. And it's something that must be learned. It's something that must grow over time. And I want you to turn your attention to our passage, Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to look at verse 37. Actually, verse 36, someone asked Jesus, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of life, Lord. We thank you for another opportunity to come to your house. Lord, I thank you for the songs that we've sang about having a friend in you, and Lord, how we need you to come in our midst here this morning and open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts to an understanding of your word here this morning. Lord, I pray that you would come in and be with us, meet among us, use your word, Lord, to change lives. Lord, I do pray that you would use me to lift up your son Jesus here this morning. Lord, as we leave here, I pray that we would say it's been good to be in the house of God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, there's something about love. Something about love. It's not a one-time thing. You know, it's not a one-time offense. It's not a one-time show of compassion. It is not that if you go into the book of Acts and you can read about Stephen's sermon and Peter's sermon there in Acts 7 and Acts 10, and they said that Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good. It doesn't say that he did one thing. It says he went about doing good. And we can read, we have chapter upon chapter of people that he had compassion on. It would be one thing if Jesus, if one blind man would come to him and he healed him and that was it. But no, several blind men come, several halt, several withered. They come to Jesus to be healed because he loved them and showed compassion among them. Love is continual. It is constant and it grows. It grows. We're talking this morning about growing to love our Lord. And how is my love to grow, you might ask? Well, one way is to study. One way is to study those whom you love. The Kendrick Brothers released a movie in 2008 called Fireproof. Those of you who've seen that, it's a good marriage movie. And in this movie, the father gives his son a copy of what he calls the love dare. Okay, they're having some marriage struggles, and really they're struggling even to love one another. Okay, and what he does is he gives him a copy of a 40-day way to help improve your marriage. And on day number 18, the title is Love Seeks to Understand. In this chapter, a person is challenged to study their spouse, find out their likes and their dislikes. When you first start dating, you just have a grade school education, and as time goes on and you study your spouse, or as you're courting, you find out their likes and their dislikes, and hopefully by the end of your time together, you would end up with a PhD in what your spouse likes and what your spouse dislikes. I don't know about you all, but I'm far from a PhD. I don't know if anybody would claim to have one here, but God bless you if you do, all right? But why do or should we do this? Because we love them. Because we love them. We study them because we love them, all right? Do you think that this would be a good thing to study? If we're in order to grow in our love for God, wouldn't it be right if we would study him? Study his attributes, study his desires, study his will for our lives. Wouldn't it be good if we would do that? That is one way that we can grow. And we're taught. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9 says that we are taught by God to love. Paul commended the church at Thessalonica. He said, "You have no need that I write unto you about loving your brothers, because you already are taught of God how to love your brothers." But we're not talking about our love for our brothers. I think if we love God, loving our brothers will come naturally. But we need to learn how to love, our love to grow toward God. The first commandment we just read, the great commandment, right out of Jesus' mouth, is to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. 1 John 4 and 19 says we are to love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Right? That is why we should love. That's why our love should grow. It's because the Father loved us. So how do we make our love grow? How do we do that? I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. It says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to what? Love him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep his commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which command thee this day for thy good." The first thing in order for our love to grow for God is we have to learn how to fear him. That is exactly what Kenny was talking about last night in his sermon, is that we have to learn how to fear God. Those ignorant people that think that they can rebel against God, they have no fear, they have no reverence for the Lord. He, the creator of everything, we've kind of forgot about that. That he created everything, that he is all-knowing, that he is all-powerful, that he is all-present. We have forgotten those things because we are sensual beings. We look around for the things that we can see, that we can feel, that we can touch, you know, the things that we can hear. We look for those things, and we can see God in those things if we would only look, if we would only fear him. Some of God's people are losing a respect for God. Some have lost a reverence for his house. A lot have lost a reverence for the Sabbath, the day of rest, right? A lot of people have lost that. Rascal Flatts, I know that's a country music station, but they released a song called Mayberry, and one of the lines in the song goes like this: "Sunday used to be a day of rest, but now it's just one more day for progress." I can remember a time when down at Buffalo, before they was winning the state championships, when you come out of the end of town, there's three or four softball fields there. There wasn't a soul, not a soul there. Then I would come through getting ready to go to church on Sunday morning, and guess what? They're full. They were full Friday, Saturday, and even Sunday. Because we've lost the reverence. We've lost the fear for the Lord. The Lord set aside this day for him, for people to gather and to worship him together. Then you got them coaches. I'll never forget this. I'll never forget this as long as I live. Well, you can serve the Lord just as good on the softball field as you can in the church house. That ain't right. That ain't right at all. We've lost a reverence. We've lost a fear. You go back in the Old Testament scripture and people were put to death when they worked on the Sabbath. It was serious. It was a serious thing. Jesus wasn't even allowed to hang on the cross on the Sabbath. You ever pay attention to that? When they hung Jesus, what they say? They got to make sure he's dead. They got to get him off the cross before the Sabbath started. So what did they do? Jesus was already dead, but the two malefactors, they were still hanging there. They were still alive. They were still breathing. What did they do? They went out there and took a club and broke their legs so that they couldn't hold themselves up to breathe because they weren't allowed to be there on the Sabbath. It's serious. It was serious. They feared God because of that. Even people that didn't believe in him, they feared God because of that. They had a reverence for the Sabbath day. I think some people have lost the reverence for his house. Some people come to church looking like they just come back from the gym. If you go into Esther chapter 5, when she went before the king, she put on her royal apparel. That is one great illustration of prayer. If you've not heard Tim Sigmund speak that message, you're missing out, because he said that is one of the most beautiful pictures of prayer, how we prepare ourselves to come before an almighty king. And that's what she did. She was going on behalf of her people before the king of the land. And she put on her royal apparel. In Leviticus 16, when you get the great day of atonement, of how the high priest was supposed to do all of his duties, there is great detailed instruction about what he was supposed to do and how he was supposed to shake the blood so many times, how he was to sacrifice a certain animal, all of these great things that he was supposed to do. You know, one of the things that's mentioned in there? His apparel. His apparel. You know what? He had to take off his ephod or whatever that had all of the stones that represented all the tribes of Israel that he represented. He had to take all of that off and he had to put on a pure white garment to go into the Holy of Holies to make an atonement for his people. He was going before the very presence of God that nobody could enter. Nobody could enter that place except for one time a year. On a certain day, on the great day of atonement, could that high priest go before an almighty king, an almighty God. That's what he did. You know, I would rather you be here. I would rather you be here if you have time, if you think about it. But you're coming into the king's house. You are coming into God's house. Proverbs 3 and verse 6, acknowledge him in all of your ways, right? We are to acknowledge him. We are to fear. We are to revere him because you love him. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. That is how we show reverence. That is how we show fear. Maybe it's as much as getting up in the morning and you're going out to work and you say, Lord, keep me safe today. Just acknowledge him. Just to show that you have a reverence for him, that he is in control. Okay, the next thing I want you to see, in order for us, our love to grow, is we must, check out verse 12, it says that we are to fear the Lord and we are to walk in his ways. Okay, you should want to walk in his ways and you should want to cleave. You should want to cleave to him. You should want to spend time with your heavenly Father. Talk about the things that are important. The scriptures say when you pray. They don't say if. They don't say if. They don't say, well, if you get time. They say when. They say when. We've talked about that before, how Jesus in Mark chapter 1, you know, he got up early in the morning. He got up early in the morning and went out into a what kind of place? A desert place. Away from the distractions, away from cell phones, away from computers, away from people. You got to get away and get alone with your God. You got to do that. You have to get alone with your God. And he says, when you pray. Matthew 6 and Luke 11, when you pray. God has created us to be relationship beings. That is what separates us from everything else that he created on this earth. We were created to have a relationship with our Creator. His desire is for us to have a personal relationship. And how do we do that? By talking to him and reading his word. That is how you have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. You must talk to him and you must spend time in his word. A father and a mother runs crazy when their kids are young, getting them place to place, don't they? They run crazy getting them from place to place, to soccer practice, to basketball practice, to dance, to piano lessons, to whatever you have. You run crazy doing that stuff. And I've never heard anyone, you know, when the kids get older and they start living a life of their own, I think each one of us would just like to have just a little bit of time back. Just a little bit more time with our kids, right? I think sometimes because we're different, it's awkward. It's awkward because I don't know anything about Bluey. I don't know anything about Spider-Man or Legos or dolls or dancing. But I do know that I love spending time with my kids. And I think each of you that's had kids, you feel the same exact way. You feel the same exact way. God just wants a little bit of our time. He just wants a little bit of our time. Why can't we give it to him? Why can't we show fear and reverence and just give him 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes? Really, I think you should be a couple hours each day in his word or talking to him. You should spend that time talking to the Lord who give you life, who gives you the breath each and every day to walk this earth. Just a little bit of time. The Father wants time with his children. James chapter 4 and verse 8 says, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. I want you to see a couple more, and then we're going to move from love to worship here. It says in verse 12, what does he require of us but to fear him, to walk in his ways, to love him is what we've been talking about, but to serve. And I want to go, you want to use serve and worship together. Serve the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and keep his commandments. All right, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. All right, we are, in order for us to grow in our love for him, we got to learn to worship. We have to learn to worship the Lord. I'm moving on so that we're not stuck here on this verse all day, but the passage says to serve, to worship the one. And this is something that we do. In order to serve him, we must worship him. The songwriter says, I will serve thee because I love thee. Right? It goes hand in hand. I believe that song is one of the ways that we worship. Songs about his attributes. Grace that is greater than our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. Right? We sing about that. We sing about his love. We sing about how he is holy. We sing that great song, thank goodness, great is thy faithfulness. We sing those songs. We should bring them into our hearts. Okay? That is one way that we worship him. Psalm 96 and verse 9 says, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Another way we worship him is when we give back. Deuteronomy 26 and verse 10 through 11 says that we should give of what God has given us. I believe the Bible tells us that we are to bring forth a tithe to give back to him that already belongs to him. Okay? And if more, if he directs. But I think there's other ways that we can give, not just our contribution to the local church, not only our required tithe to the local church, but I think that we should give our time, right? I think we should give other things. I think we should give to food pantries. We should. Those that are trying to feed the hungry, I think that's a good cause. I think we should give to those things. Clothing pantries, to homeless shelters. We should give to those things. I think that's one way that we worship him is when we give back to those that are less fortunate. I think it says that we've worshiped God, and what he said was when we give to the least of these. As you've done to them, you have done unto me also. Okay? Stuff is good, but we got to give our time. We got to give our time. You know, in that parable of the Good Samaritan, you know that Samaritan was on his way somewhere. You know he was on a time crunch. You know he had some place to be. You know he had meetings to go to. You know he had all that stuff. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter. He gave of his time to stop. When the priest and the Levite turned their head and walked the other way, he stopped and took time. And it says he bound him up. He put him on his beast and he took him to an inn and paid for him. That means he went out of his way to help, to serve, to worship God by his love. Right? They need time. I'm thankful for those people who worship by giving of their time and their talents. I'm thankful for them. Okay? So number three in our group of 10 is to learn to love and to worship our God. Okay. Number four, another way that we show this and another way that we grow spiritually is when we live in obedience to Christ. Number four, live in obedience to Christ. In order to grow spiritually, you must learn to obey God's commands. John 14 and 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. But then if we don't, Jesus says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, he says, man, why do you call me Lord and do not the things that I say? Right? We have to learn how to obey and live in obedience to the Lord. We must learn to live under his lordship. When Jesus returned to heaven, when he sat down at the Father's right hand in Philippians 2, it says that God gave him the name Lord, which means he gave him the authority, which means he gave them the power, right? That everything above heaven, on earth, or above earth, in the earth, and below the earth, that everyone would call him Lord. The word Lord means Jehovah. That means he's the one that has the right to rule. And when you confess Jesus as your Savior, that's what you're saying, is that he is Lord of your life, that he has the right to rule. Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Why? Why did God just now give him that power? It's because that he conquered death, hell, and the grave. He was the only high priest that could feel what we felt, to go through the temptations that we felt. Because he was the God-man, fully God, fully man. He conquered it all. He conquered it all. He is Lord over our lives, and we need to obey. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 has three verses in it that really deal with obedience to the lordship of Christ. And right out of the gate, I want you to see verse 2. We'll just read verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, what? Unto obedience, right? Why is Peter writing this letter? For obedience' sake. We need to understand that. He writes to them unto obedience. The Bible is written. God's inspired word is written for obedience. Earlier we said that God's word is inspired by him, that it is the actual words of God on paper to his people, right? Each letter that we see is written to the saints. It's not written to just the world, it's written to his people so that they obey it. Verse 2, he said, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. It is God's word to us. And let me tell you, it is the light for our path, and we must walk in it. Psalm 119, and I don't remember the verse. It happens. Verse 14 now. Verse 14. It says in verse 13, actually, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of grace that be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, it says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We are to be obedient children. We just talked about having time spent with our Heavenly Father. Well, we are to, in that time, we are to learn how to be obedient. Remember when your parents told you not to do something and you did it anyways? Lee, did that ever happen to you? I didn't figure. What happened? What happened when you didn't listen? You got a beating. That's right. You got whooped. You got whooped. God does that with His kids too. Hebrews 12 and 6 says, those whom He loves, He also chastens. Man, when you're out of the will of God, when you're out of fellowship with Him and He loves you, man, He'll whip you. He will whip you. And then soon we find out that our parents just wanted what was best for us. It's the same thing with the Lord. And we were better off when we listened. We were better off. I can remember, I'll never forget this. This is the first time I ever whipped my daughter. Y'all turn me in later. Okay, let me get this story out first and then we'll tell you. We're in our first house and Kendra's cooking. And she says, Sam, stay in the other room. Stay in the other room. I'm going to open the oven. Okay, she can just barely walk. Okay, she can walk, but she just barely walk. Don't have real good balance. And here she goes. What she do? Go right in that kitchen. Right in that kitchen. I'm like, no way. I went and grabbed her by the arm. I turned around and I smacked her, and she started squalling. Hated that. It's awful. But I wanted what was best for her. I wanted what was best for her. That's the same thing the Lord tells us in His Word. He wants what's best for His people. He wants what is best for His people. It says this is the same way with God, and when we follow the Lord, He gives us His peace. Philippians 4 and 19. He said, those things that you've heard, those things that you've seen in me, Paul telling that to the church at Philippi, those things that you've learned and seen and heard me, do them. Do those very things. And if you do those things, if you do those things according to God's word, He says, the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. One last verse. Look at verse 22. Verse 22 says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Okay? We are purified when we obey the word of the Lord. Okay? When we obey the truth. When we obey God, He molds us into the image of His Son. Jesus said in John 17 and verse 17 that we are sanctified by the truth. Okay? Yes, when we are saved, we are set apart for a holy purpose in an instant sanctification. But through the Word of God, we are progressively sanctified. Okay? Those things that we learn just a little. I tell you what, think about this for just a second. I'm going to mess this video up, okay? As people go out into the woods and they start going into creeks, okay, and you've seen people, them gold miners or whatever, and they got them little trays, and they sift the rocks out of them, and they sift the things out of them. You got to do the same thing with God's Word. Because I think God reveals His word to us just a little bit at a time. I think that just a little bit at a time, little gold nuggets, right? There's times when you read the scripture and you're like, bam, right? I think that's what happens. I think that's what happens with God's word, how we're sanctified by the truth as we find those little gold nuggets that smack us in the face. Just little gold nuggets, man. And then we got to share them with others. Maybe it'll smack them in the face too. Who knows? Who knows? But we have to. We are sanctified. We are progressively being more and more like Christ through the reading of the Scriptures as we obey the Scriptures. Okay? When we look into God's Word and the Holy Spirit starts doing His thing, you can watch the change that happens in a person. They stop seeking to please men and the world, and they start seeking to please and obey God. Part of our growth is learning to live a life in obedience to the word of the Lord. Right? So that is number 3 and number 4 of our 10 keys to spiritual growth. I hope that you've enjoyed this little study. We're not done yet. We got 5 through 10 to go. You know, but right now, our four keys to spiritual growth, what we're striving for, what we're striving for in 2023, we're looking to make sure that we're saved first, right? Said, examine yourself. Examine yourself. See if you be in the faith, right? That's what the scripture says. And we got to immerse. We have to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. We have to saturate ourselves. We have to hide His words in our hearts that we won't sin against Him. We have to let it be the light to our path. We have to let it be the lamp to our feet. We have to let it do its work. We have to immerse ourselves in that thing. We have to grow in our love. We have to grow in our love for the Lord. We have to learn to acknowledge Him each and every day, each and every minute. Like the psalm writer said, I need thee every hour. Got to learn to grow in our love and our worship for the Lord. And fourthly, as we talked about, we have to learn how to live in obedience to Christ. We have to learn that. Okay? There is six more, and we'll work on that again next week. Right? All right. All God's people said, amen. Let's all stand.